We're sitting in a cafe here in London, in central London. I've just finished doing the In the Dark event, which was an event where I played a bunch of clips of radio that I'm interested in and that I like, and some of which I've worked on for an audience of about 50 people who came along and sat upstairs in a pub with candles on the table. And it was a charming event. It was great. Ronan Kelly from RTE Radio in Dublin in Ireland. I'm a radio producer and I have responsibility for a weekly 10 to 15 minute show of features.
Two listeners got in touch with the Documentary Hour.
I occasionally do documentaries.
Why don't you do a program about plane spotting, they said. Why don't you, we said. Okay, they said. So they did.
I also have responsibility for one of our digital stations called RTE Choice, which is a compilation station that repeats programmes from the daily schedule, replays international programmes, carries them live, things like the BBC World Service, NPR, and also plays programmes from RTE archives.
Now on RTE Choice from NPR, On the Media explores how the media sausage is made, casts an incisive eye on fluctuations in the marketplace of ideas, and examines threats
normally when
to freedom
I'm doing
of information
a talk,
and expression in America and abroad.
I play a lot of American pieces, some Australian pieces, and intercut them with Irish pieces. Sometimes I'm making points because I'm talking to people who learn who are interested in radio, so I use pieces to illustrate points about editing, points about use of sound. There's kind of like a shopping list when you go to make a programme of things you can throw at a programme. You can throw editing at the programme, you can throw music, you can throw scripts, you can throw scenes, all that kind of thing. So I go through that kind of shopping list. Last night they told me I had about an hour and a half and they wanted a long piece as well.
At first they had us handcuffed to the bed.
And they said it about an hour and a half. Now the long piece I wanted to play was 40 minutes long, so what I decided to do...
I kept slipping my hand out of the handcuffs because I had only tiny little hands.
...was just play Irish pieces. The risk there is that some of the really good Irish pieces or really good colloquial pieces in any radio station are that, they're colloquial.
Vladimir writes on the site that better hoovers mean that carpet beating is no longer necessary and that men no longer think of buying carpet beaters as presents for their wives.
But I think they got it. So I played one of my favourite pieces is 46 seconds of radio and it's two little girls crossing the road in the late 70s, early 80s.
Sorry, busy here since we've been trying to cross.
Yes.
So don't turn out now, don't turn out like you did.
I won't.
Last time, has to be clear first.
Look right and left.
Big lorry.
We better wait till the traffic stops.
Yes, or I should be killed. We should get across soon, there's the big bus.
Mind you don't slip.
Don't worry.
Here we go.
At least he's a decent man to stop.
Yes.
Oh, look at that green car. Be careful of it. At long last, we're across.
Yes, thank God.
And it's what I love about it is, first of all, you imagine what they look like if you're told it's in the late 70s, early 80s.
Here's the big bus. Mind you don't slip.
When you listen in the background, you hear the sound of diesel engines on the cars and trucks, but you don't hear so much anymore because diesel engines are now quieter.
At least he's a decent man to stop.
Yes.
Oh. The two girls themselves, one of them is only slightly older than the other, but in the way the children manage it, she patronises or matronises the younger one and she really kind of minds her as if she's simple. And the other great thing about it is that there is a natural arc to the story, which is, it's got a beginning, middle and end. They start at one side of the road, they're in the middle of the road, and then they get over to the other side of the road. And it's whether they get over to cross the road successfully and how they do that. And it's all told in 46 seconds. And I usually play that to people to point out to them that there are stories everywhere. If you have your machine with you, you pick up those stories if you have your eyes and your ears open, and you just imagine that if you record, you can get something out of practically any situation.
Like this woman singing in a street full of construction noise.
Yeah.
that my father. There is no shadow of Johnny.
Can I have a quick word with you?
Why?
I heard you singing the song back in the street. What song was it?
I would always keep my eyes open for things like that. But it's not just looking for the quirky, because I always know that in the quirky there's another story. You know, the person who is eccentric has probably done other things in their lives as well that's slightly out of the norm, and we always love to hear that. Conversely, they may have also suffered, or they may have had mental issues or whatever. Now, obviously, when you're doing a story like that, you don't want to exploit that, and you certainly don't want to sneer at them, and you don't want to invite the audience to sneer at them. But you do want to celebrate their difference.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a chair, right? It's a yellow chair with a white seat on it, and it has small wheels on it. And running out of the chair are these sort of harnesses. And connected to the harnesses are eight dogs. So they're two abreast and two dogs in front, two dogs after them, and they pull it along.
So it's like Scott of the Antarctic.
It's like, you know, you sort of think Alaska, but you're in Wexford, and you think huskies, but it's actually sheepdogs.
As I say to my kids, the people who are different are the ones who make the difference in any community.
Because you don't know when you want them, they say, because I wouldn't be like another person, they say. They wouldn't dream of doing the things they'd be at, you see what I mean? And they'd be throwing away yokes, and they wouldn't see it, and they'd be valuable to me.
And no community can survive without minorities coming and making differences. Whether it be, you know, Jewish people in a Gentile community, gays in a straight community, whatever. We all need those different people in order to show us different ways, highlight what it is what we do.
A woman said to me in the Flack Hall last year, when I was in Enniscorthy, she said, I wish they could put manners on my children to send you up on them dogs. God and Mrs. I had them for a while, so I'd put manners on them. Well, Lord, stop.
So, on one level, he's funny, but on the other level, it was really interesting to listen to the juggernauts tearing down this road. You know, there's no way you should be able to get onto a road with a juggernaut, but you can. People cross roads in, you know, various countries where there's huge trucks going down the road. So there's all of that.
It's a tough road, you see, to handle here with dogs. Mick, what are we? Good chaps. Bono chaps up. Good well done. Bono, that's the stuff. Good man.
And there was the way he talked to the dogs and the way he talked about the dogs.
Good chaps. Well done, chaps.
Well, I love that line where he said how some days I'm grumpy and they go away with their tails between their legs. And then all I do is give them a kind word and they come back. You know, the way he talked about the dogs and the way. I wait till he finishes grinding those.
Right.
That'll give you an edit as well, though.
Yeah.
I often use sounds like that to give me an edit, to mask an edit. Like, I like the way he talked about the animals. You know. You're just gonna have to live with that. Like the way he talked about the animals, you know, he said that some days I'm grumpy and the dogs go away with their tails between their legs, but then if I give them a kind word they come back and their tails wagging. There was a gentleness about him, you know, and I really like that.
And we kind of just looked at each other and says, yeah, we'll go.
The long piece was, I work in an office on looking after a digital radio station, and the guy I worked in the office with worked on an evening newspaper in Dublin in the 1980s. And I was talking to him about making documentaries, and he said, you know, I always wanted to find out what happened to those kids in the mid-1980s who disappeared off, you know? And I said, don't know the story. So he pulled a whole load of stuff off the web about these two children who went on this incredible journey. And we decided to try and do a documentary. And we eventually managed to track them down. And he went out and he interviewed the one of the two children who is now a man in his late 30s.
They stopped us and they kind of asked, you know, where's your passport, where's your papers and things like that, and we just told them the same thing. Like, so he just says, oh yeah, we pointed kind of in a backwards direction, oh yeah, ma'am's coming with the papers now, and kind of when they weren't looking and they were dealing with other people, we were kind of like just ducked under the, they were kind of in like little security boxes with glass on them, and they had kind of wood kind of halfway up, if you like, about 3 feet up. And we kind of just ducked down and ducked under and went. And once we got past them, like, we were out into the, you know, the centre of the airport.
We had to recreate a story from the 1980s, some of which I was able to do with recordings that I made myself of transport, some of which I was able to do with buying sound effects off sound effects companies. But a lot of the sounds I was able to get from YouTube. And these were specific sounds that nobody would have thought of gathering. Like, for example, a safety announcement from a particular airline on a particular flight that just fitted perfectly with what I needed.
You know, everything is just bigger. And so we were walking around the airport for nearly 2-3 hours, just looking at everything and fascinated by everything before we even ventured outside the airport.
This is a story that, in one sense, is very straightforward. It's one man telling a story of something that happened to him 20-something years ago. So it's one voice. Hopefully it's enhanced by the sound effects. But the danger with a story like this is that the actual story itself is so good and so strong, and it would work written, that as a radio producer, you're in serious danger of screwing up this story if you overproduce it. And that was always a worry with this story. And I don't know whether it worked or not, but I think it was okay. I think we were pretty careful with it. I think we helped it in terms of radio, but we could have just as easily have smashed the story and ruined it.
You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of, they were thinking more on the lines of terrorists and things like that. Like, you guys could have having bombs or anything, which is, and you've done this, like, this is very important, that you show us how you've done this and how you've managed to get through this.
And it was just amazing to sit in a room and listen to a work you've done and hear people's reactions. Because obviously when you're cutting a piece, you pace it and you make your edits in order to get the maximum impact on the listener. So to actually hear whether that works or not with a group of people, and the In the Dark people told me that there is a different dynamic when people are sitting together listening to radio, in the way that there's a different dynamic to you sitting at home watching a DVD versus you being in the cinema watching a movie with a bunch of people. And I couldn't really understand that. But last night I got it. And it was just fascinating to hear, to sit in the dark, which we were practically in the dark, hear the programme going by and know what edits were coming up and seeing whether it would work or not. And most of the time people laughed at exactly the places I wanted them to laugh. And people went at exactly the places I wanted them to go. And that was amazing. That was just incredible. And I was trying to describe it to one of the producers back home on the phone this morning. And I said it was a bit like doing stand-up, but with tape. So I had no control over the flow of the tape now on the night. But any of the decisions that I had made sitting at the laptop in my bedroom at home while I was editing actually worked.